Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sometimes when we find out things, I am surprised that the people in charge expect it to go any different. We'll get back to the Royals in just a bit, but I think you guys will find this story at least a little bit intriguing. I just read the Athletic piece during the commercial break. Do you remember the story a couple of weeks ago that came out? Because you know Bill Belichick has taken over the job at North Carolina. He is now their head coach. And it was reported that he wants all of his emails to be CC'd to his girlfriend. Now, his girlfriend is 24 years old. He's in his 70s. That is well chronicled and documented at this point. But if you were going to tell the public this information, that if you email Bill Belichick, who is a public employee now, like it's not hard to find what his email is. It is not hard to get this information. You didn't think that you were going to get some weird emails? So the Athletic filed a request. I mean, he is a public employee. Like, you have access to some of this information. Robin, those emails, they've been calling him a predator. I mean, didn't we know how this was going to go? I mean, Bill, you've been real open with your PYT. You guys been doing yoga and all kind of poses, and I don't know what's been going on. She's been showing up at events. I never saw you out in these events. You didn't think that when you told us, hey, if you email me, she's going to see it. You didn't know that people were going to send you some emails. He replied to a couple of these. Rob, they got the information. He replied to these. He replied to one of these on Valentine's Day. You know, that one was really weighing on him. They were really weighing on him if he replied to somebody on Valentine's Day. I can't believe that you would believe your alma mater would support me if I was a predator. Bill, I'm telling you right now, step away. Let's focus on the task at hand. Doesn't matter what I think about your relationship. You are two consenting adults. If you cool with it, she cool with it, I'm cool with it, I'm fine. But Bill, you shouldn't be reading emails right now. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I'd be trying to get that Tennessee quarterback. That's what I'd be focused on if I'm you. I'd be focused on how we can make a bowl game next year. I'd be focused on how we get this program going. You're in your 70s. You got a lot going on right now. You trying to keep up with that young thing, and you also got young players that you got to coach and learn. I wouldn't be replying to emails, Bill. I would leave that alone. I'd leave that to somebody else. That would be my advice to Bill Belichick here, because I'm guessing now with this bit of information, and now we know that this will get you publicized in The Athletic, you are probably going to get more of those emails. Just don't read them. Just don't reply. Stay away.
I mean, the whole Bill Belichick thing at Carolina has always been weird, right? Like, the whole thing, have you seen the video? And I hate making reference to a small, like, 15-second internet video, but you see him at the spring game where he's just sitting there twirling his whistle in the end zone. She stomps out there, shows him her phone, and then she walks back. It just... The whole Carolina thing with this girl.
He's kind of parading around like she's the mascot.
Yeah. And then she's now CC'd in all his emails. There's a lot. It just, there's something odd. And the fact that he's in college at all, there's something odd about this whole thing. Something is amiss. I'm not saying he is or isn't a predator. I don't know. He's getting emails about it. But the fact he's coaching at North Carolina, not that he took over for his friend Nick Saban at Alabama, he's at North Carolina and his girlfriend's everywhere, is just odd to me. And he was the coach of the Patriots forever. Do we know his dating life at any point in that world? No. And now she can't get out of the photos.
I will say that I don't know much about their relationship, but that actually sounds like the most relatable part of their relationship. She's young and he's old and he needs help with technology. I'm sure this has happened to you before. Has your mom ever called you because she was unsure of something? And to you, it's very commonplace. We grew up with this technology. Yes, I know how to help you to get your Fire Stick working. I know how to help you with your Apple TV or your Chromecast. You have no clue how to use it. When was the last time that your mom just looked at her phone puzzled and needed your help to try to do what you think is a very simple task? That's the part of their relationship that makes the most sense. Bill needs help. Bill wasn't replying to emails when he was coaching Bill Belichick or doing any of those, or when he was doing any of that stuff. When you were coaching Rob Gronkowski, you were reading emails. You got to read emails now. I don't know how to work this thing. What is this? I've never used email before. That makes sense. Good luck to North Carolina. They are one of the more intriguing stories this year in all of college sports.
They are the most interesting team in college football. They start the year with someone good, too. They play TCU, I think, in week one.
Yeah,
like,
they do.
Remember when they hired him, that one guy on the text line told us that it was the best hire that any college team could ever make because he won a championship? Just, it's just weird. It's just going to be weird. She also has referenced in those emails a business called Belichick Productions that doesn't exist. Like, that's all weird.
Yeah, because they're working on it. They're working on getting Belichick Productions up and running. That's why they don't want to be on Hard Knocks, because they're about to start their own Hard Knocks with Belichick Productions. See, look at that. You're not business savvy. That's why he has Miss Jordan Hudson around, because she's keeping everything on the up and up. Are you with me with the Royals? Let's get back to local here. Are you with me on the Royals? The Royals are almost out on the other side. I don't think that these first 18 games have gone exactly how people want them to go. Their offense continues to be a struggle. But if you want to take a look ahead, if you want to find some positive in all of this, I don't maybe agree that their schedule has been as tough. Like, I've heard it described, like, man, they played this murderous, very difficult. Like, I think they've just played comparable opponents to what they are. I think that Minnesota is comparable. I think that the Brewers are comparable. I think that I think they're playing like opponents. But I think what is encouraging about the Royals, and what should give you peace about the Royals, is that time is almost over. They have one more game against the Yankees. That comes up in a couple of hours. They play a handful of games this weekend against the Detroit Tigers, and they are out on the other side. They play Colorado. They play Houston, two teams that are near the bottom if we were talking about runs scored. So those two teams have the same problem that you believe the Royals have. Those teams can't score. Now, Tampa Bay is 8-9. I mean, the thing about so early on in the year is that everybody's kind of jumbled up. I mean, the White Sox, I know they won their first couple of games early on, but they have the worst record in the American League. They're 4-12. They're not as bad as they were last year, but they're certainly not a good team by any means. Just because we haven't played enough baseball games, everybody is kind of bunched up now at this point. Nobody has run away from anybody. So as disappointing as you might believe the Royals to be and the kind of slow start that they're off to, I mean, they're right there. They're right there. This organization, this team can be in second place in the division by Monday. By the time we talk to Denny Matthews, they could be in second place in their division and maybe a game or a game and a half back out of first place with obviously a lot of time to go. Are you with me at least in this belief that it has been a rocky start to the year? No question. But they're almost out on the other side of it where you can potentially breathe a little bit. And if you're going to be in a stretch where you can win 5 of 7 or 7 of 10, that stretch is coming up starting on Monday at Kauffman Stadium.
I do agree with you. The Royals have problems. I do not want it to come out like they don't have problems. I think even in a best case scenario, their offense isn't going to turn into the Yankees overnight. Their offense is going to scuffle along throughout most of the season. But I feel like if this, 18-game stretch took place from July 11th to July 29th, I don't think fans would notice. Not that they wouldn't be like frustrated, oh, they blew another one. Why, they're 8-10, their last 18. God, I wish they were better. I think this is just one of the ebbs and flows of a baseball season. Carrington, you and I both know there's going to be a time this year the Royals win 7 of 10, 11 of 14. People are going to be like, oh my God, this is the best team in baseball. There's also going to be a point where they lose 5 in a row. There's going to be a chance where you go 10 over 18. There's also going to be a stretch where they go 12 and 6 over 18. Like, that is the ebb and the flow of a baseball season for a team that we think is going to be 81 to 90 wins. It may not even 90, 81 to 85 wins-ish. That's the ebb and flow of baseball season. I think what is been tough for the Royals as far as a, all eyes on them situation is opening day, there was excitement, and they're in one of those ebbs and flows moments, and now people, because there is nothing else going on, are jumping to massive conclusions or off the bandwagon or all these things, where if this same thing was happening from June 14th to July 1st, you know what we wouldn't be talking about? This. We'd be saying baseball is happening. And I'm saying that with the assumption they are going to come out the other side. So yes, I think some rocky series and things like that will be nice for morale, and there will be a time in the not-so-distant future we say, wow, this team over an 18-game stretch went 11-7, and it basically undoes what they're doing right now.
Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to the NFL draft. A lot of NFL scouts don't have a first round grade on Shedeur Sanders. What does that mean? We'll talk about it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
For the first time in a long time, I'm willing to dream that this can be a special season for the Missouri Tigers.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The Fan.
Let's talk a little bit of NFL draft. Jacob Milham is going to join us on the show coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Really excited to talk some Royals baseball with him. We will get to baseball coming up in 10 minutes. I want to read to you guys a quote from Albert Breer. This is about Shedeur Sanders. Quote, "I am having a really hard time finding coaches or scouts who believe that Shedeur Sanders is a first-round talent. This, by the way, is from any issue that anyone has with his personality. Those questions exist, but most teams have made exceptions in that department in the past to take on guys with special talents. The problem seemed to be that too many folks think that Sanders lacks those types of gifts." That is a story from Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. This is why I've always struggled with the belief that Shedeur is going to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. If you were asking me to use that kind of asset on a quarterback, I need you to have the physical side of it. Yes, you need to have the mentals. You need to have the intangibles. That is a given if I'm going to use a first round pick on you. But if I'm going to trade up to 10 to go draft Patrick Mahomes the way that Kansas City did, I need you to have exceptional physical abilities that we can't teach. If we're going to spend a top 10 pick on you the way that Buffalo did for Josh Allen, sure, you might have some questionable accuracy issues, but you're 6'4", 230 pounds, and you're one of the best running quarterbacks we've seen. You've been durable. Your physicals chart off the board. You look at Anthony Richardson to the Indianapolis Colts. It didn't have a lot of game experience, but same concept. I don't see that with Shedeur. If you are telling me that Shedeur, if you're drafting him, is because of IQ, if you're drafting him because of his dad's pedigree and just being around a locker room, like, there are reasons to draft Shedeur Sanders. I'm not doing that at 9 if I'm the Saints. I'm not doing that or moving up if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, and now you're asking me to use a first-round draft pick on him. Like, I've always kind of thought that Shedeur is going to sit and wait for a little bit. I don't think the physicals are there for him. Now, could we see a team use a first-round pick on Shedeur because of supply and demand and the scarcity at the position? Sure. I'm going to guess that he is going to be a first-round draft pick, but, I mean, he's not a player that I would run to go get. Taking him in the top 5 is crazy to me. Taking him in the top 10 is crazy to me. I'd be interested in Shedeur Sanders as a guy who is falling. If he's going to have a Jordan Love kind of day or an Aaron Rodgers kind of day where he's going to be available, and then at that point, the value of getting that fifth-year option is too great, so you need to take your quarterback, you could sell me on that for sure, especially in a rookie wage scale and if he's not going to be your starting quarterback next year. But I think there's some time that's going to have to elapse with Shedeur. I think there's some development that is going to have to underdo. And I think there's some physical things that you're just never going to be able to overcome. He's not the biggest. He's not the fastest. He's not the most mobile. He's not the most. He doesn't have those traits that just wow you and jump off the page. So I think what scouts are seeing, if you're looking at it solely through that lens, hey, I'm here to judge your physical ability at playing this position. That's what I do for a living. I'm an NFL scout. It's not that surprising to me, Rob, that he is a player that is struggling to maybe wow or dazzle the scouts, because I don't think there's a lot of wow or dazzling things that he's going to do in a pro day or a combine. Why you were taking him is his ability to overcome, for his ability to perform under pressure. And you are thinking, well, if we give you a better structure than you had in Colorado, if we give you an offensive line, if we give you a run game, we think we can get the most out of your ability. That's why you draft Shadur, not because he's an overwhelming prospect.
So I struggle with Shadur for this reason. I think he has a little bit of the Cam Ward factor, which is scarcity of the position. And I don't think in a normal year we'd be talking about him as a top 10 pick. I don't know he'd be a first round pick. Like, if we put Shadur in last year's draft, let's say he left Colorado at the end of 2024. Is Shadur Sanders a first-round pick last year? I think he's worse than all those guys on the board. So part of it's just the scarcity of the position. The other part with Shadur that I can't wrap my arms around is it felt like everything Colorado did was built around making Shadur happy. Maybe more so than any college program we've seen a quarterback come out of. Like, they won a lot this year, like a lot more than I thought, and kudos to Deion and Shadur. But there were stories in the offseason about how when he would score a touchdown, Deion told the band, don't play the fight song, play his rap. They invited the team to come to his concert, and Deion made it so that he was the, you know, the opener for Lil Wayne. That's odd. I mean, it felt like he had the giant watch, and he had all the stuff around him, and he had this, it felt like more so than your average college program, Colorado made sure Shadur was happy, and that's not how it works in the NFL and NFL locker room. So I think his talent is good. I don't think it's eye-popping good, and I wonder about the other stuff, because I don't think the New York Giants and New Orleans Saints are going to cater to him the same way Colorado catered to him, and that is my biggest question, on top of the talent being good but not wow to me.
Text line 913-586-7965. See that? I think Shadur is much better than Anthony Richardson. You're falling too much for the physicals and underwriting the mental traits. I agree with you. I think that he's a better college quarterback as well. My point is, I can see why a team convinced themselves on using a top 10 pick on Anthony Richardson, because he jumps off the page and wow you. And he has the physicals, and you believe that you can coach all of the other things. It is far easier to coach all of those other things if you already run a 4-5, it's easy to coach those things. At least you believe you can coach them. Anthony Richardson has some things that I can't teach you. You just are born with. I'm not sure if Shadur has those things. So that would just scare me off using a top pick on him. I think he has a lot of really good traits. What's the ceiling that you think Shadur can be? Let's say best case scenario. Let's say that Shadur gets drafted by the right team, the right coach, and the right situation. When you look at the NFL, who do you think he can be?
Derek Carr. Like, Derek Carr, Raiders in his prime Derek Carr, not broken down, his body's nothing. Like, there was a time, 2015, 2016, Derek Carr with Jack Del Rio, before he got hurt, was considered an MVP candidate. He wasn't going to win it, but he was a guy that if you build around Derek Carr, you can be a playoff team. Not superb athleticism, but smart with the football, strong enough arm, not eye-popping strength, and, you know, he had good completion percentage numbers at Fresno State. I think he's Derek Carr.
I think he's Brock Purdy.
I think he's got more physical talent than Brock Purdy.
I don't think it's that much more.
I think it's noticeable more.
Yeah, I don't think it's that much more. Nah, I'm with you. One was going to be a first-round pick. One's going to be a seventh-round pick. I think we've seen in the right scenario and right situation, I think the scouts were just off on Brock Purdy. Now, he probably shouldn't have been a first-round pick. Brock Purdy should have been in the top three rounds. I think the only reason we're having this conversation about Shadur is because there is such a big gap between 1, 2, and 3 at quarterback and then where you are at 4. This, to me, feels like a year in which we're going to see 3 quarterbacks go in round 1 and then the next quarterback doesn't go until the 5th round, kind of like what we saw last year. Bo Nix was the 12th overall pick in last year's NFL draft. The next NFL quarterback was not drafted until pick 150 last year. There was a big gap from the top prospects in the NFL draft to all of those other guys. I kind of think that's how this year is going to be. And I think that's propping up Shadur just a little bit. I would use a first-round pick on Shadur because of supply and demand and all of those things, and I don't really think it's that much of a knock if you miss it anymore. I'd feel very comfortable drafting him in the 20s, though. If I get Shadur at 24, I feel great about it. We'll have you sit for a year, we'll develop you, and we'll see if we have something. I'd be very, very uneasy if I had to use a higher pick on what I think he is as a physical prospect. Let's get back to the Royals here. We're very happy to be joined by a friend of the show, Jacob Milham. He does fantastic work with Kings of Kauffman. Kind of recapping this recent skid for the Jacob, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing just fine. How about yourself, C-Dot?
I'm doing great, man. Let's start with this. Do you want to start with the offense or Angel Zerpa? Both cost them yesterday.
Well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and talk about Zerpa first. So it is, he is kind of rightfully drawn the ire of Royals fans over the past 24 hours. And, you know, we're still early in the season, right? We're only 18 games in a 162-game-long season. And, you know, the whole season, you look at the process or you can look at the results, right? And whether or not you look at the results or the process first, Angel Zerpa was the wrong choice. He has not been good this year against left-handed batters. And frankly, he hasn't been great against him across his entire career. And that was the man that manager Mac Otero went to. It didn't look good in retrospect. And I think they just have to wear that on the chin, you know?
This is the same argument that Rob made as well, is that he just thought there were better options out of the bullpen. What would you have done if you were Mac Otero in that scenario? Who would you have placed in the game other than Angel Zerpa?
So here's the tough part about where the Royals are right now in that situation. The Royals have not scored more than 4 runs in nearly 2 weeks. And they've scored like 24 runs in the last 11 games. Just absolutely anemic. So when you look at it and you have a 2-0 lead over the New York Yankees, I'm sorry. I think you have to, if you want to win that game, you can't try and trust a reliever who has not gained that trust. And frankly, I would have tossed Lucas Erceg in there for 4 outs. Get that last out that inning, come back out for 3 more, and keep it moving. That's, unfortunately, there's just no margin for error with this bullpen right now because the run scoring department is so dreadfully anemic right now, Carrington. That's just the reality.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am, and when Rob wanted to discuss this, is I think both things are true. But my point is, I guess my analogy from earlier is a better way of putting it. When you watch a football game and the score is 13-10 at half, nobody thinks that 13 is enough to win the game. You expect there to be more points to be scored, where if you're the Royals and it's 2-0 heading into the 6th inning, you just got to assume that you're not shutting out the Yankees for that day. You might end up doing it, but this is the team that is 2nd in runs scored in baseball this year. They're probably going to get to 4 or 5, so you got to continue things. That yes, we can single out Angel Zerpa, but I think you just made the point that the expectation is that the rotation and the bullpen has to be perfect late in games, and that's just not realistic to carry an offense right now that's not carrying its fair share.
No, not at all. I mean, you go and you look at the rankings, and in my mind, in today's baseball, you kind of expect each team to score about 4 runs per game. I think that's about the league average right now. Right now, the Royals are averaging barely over 3 runs a game. And this is 18 games into the season. Now that they've had some offensive outbursts, they had that 8-2 win over the Orioles at home. But since then, it has not been good. And fans' frustration has been mounting since that last good showing at the plate, because it highlights some of the other shortfalls in this team. You know, Chris Stratton can go out there and give up, say, 2-3 runs for the Philadelphia Phillies on any night. And those fans can kind of trust, well, maybe, you know, the Phillies can pick that up. They can cover up that mistake. And that's just not the reality in Kansas City. there's no quick fix to scoring runs right now, and that's just making more of the other so-so areas on this roster shine even brighter.
Right now, we're talking to Jacob Milham joining us on the show. I'm not sure if you heard the stat that we had a couple of days ago, but in the 50 games leading up to the Vinny injury, the Royals had scored 249 runs. In the 50 games since the Vinny injury, so since the hand injury, they had scored 143 runs. Like, they are two completely different offenses that they scored. Is it just the Vinny injury, or what has changed from an offense that in June or July was one of the more potent and premier offenses in the American League to this just isn't a early season struggle for this team? It's really been a 2-month struggle if you date back towards September of last year.
Yeah, so that's the reality of the fact is I want Royals fans to take themselves back to, you know, February, right before spring training. You're looking at what this team did in the winter. I think that 4 out of 5 fans were okay. They weren't overjoyed, but they were okay with what the Royals had done to address the lineup because they trusted that Bobby was going to produce MVP level numbers again. But they also trusted that Vinny Pasquantino was going to carry over the RBI production that he had in 2024. They were going to trust that Salvador Perez could continue turning back the clock after a kind of a career worst 2023 season. They trusted that those two guys who really overperformed is an understatement for what Vinny and Salvi did in 2024. Fans trusted that those two guys could do that again and power that run scoring effort that you're talking about, CDOT. And they were okay with it. Right now, it's hindsight is 2020, and you can say everything about the Royals should have added another bat. They should have done this. They should have done that. But the reality is they didn't because they trusted that Vinny and Salvi were going to be able to get it done once again. And just right now, they're not. Neither one of those guys is getting it done right now. And that has to be frustrating for the fan base and in the clubhouse.
I think that's at least my problem with all of this is I think there are two stances to have right now with the Royals, and I'm sure you've seen it on your website. There is a group of the Royals fan base that thinks that people are overreacting because it's so early on in the season. And then I think there's the other group that is simply playing the wait-and-see game. We know Salvi. We know Vinny. We know Bobby Witt. Those guys are not going to hit like this, Jonathan India. They are going to help turn things around. I think what has been frustrating, at least in the early part of this, is a lot of the pitfalls that they have run into, they were very easy to predict. Whatever questions that you had for this team on February 16th, all of those questions are now their biggest problems as we sit here on April 16th.
Yeah, that's the sad reality. I mean, I remember after the postseason was over last year, thinking, like, what do the Royals have to get done this winter? And the hope was, well, don't have MJ Melendez or Hunter Renfroe as the opening day starters in the outfield. Lo and behold, that's what happened. And those two guys have had the lion's share of the work in the outfield. And that's probably where the I told you so Royals fans can put a little feather in their cap, because so many of these issues seemed like very blatantly written on the dugout wall that these were going to be issues. I think that you can be a Royals fan and have a foot in each one of those camps. I am not saying that the Royals season is over because they're 8-10, 18 games into the season. Frankly, there's a lot of other contending teams that are in worse standings, excuse me. But this is a systemic issue. This is an issue that is going up and down the lineup right now, it feels like. And last year we saw how bad it could get for the Royals when the top three guys, Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, weren't getting it done and no one else came to pick them up. Well, right now, two of those three guys are not getting it done. Jonathan India is a little hampered. He's cooled off a little bit since his opening run with the Royals. I hope he gets back to that form and better. But there's no one else deeper down the lineup that you can hope will pick things up. Michael Garcia's hot start feels a little bit like fool's gold because we saw how bad he was to close out last year. And I don't even want to get the text line started on Hunter Renfrow and MJ Melendez and Kyle Isbell. But it's a weird spot to be as a Royals fan right now. I would still be buying tickets to go out to Kauffman Stadium. I'm still tuning in every single night because I think they can turn this thing around. But, you know, that clock is ticking, Carrington.
Jacob, are you encouraged by the fact that the schedule is about to turn around? I mean, they have one more game against the Yankees. They have a handful of games this weekend against the Tigers. And, I mean, you start to play teams that offensively are pretty close to where you are, where you should be able to kind of get right a little bit and you can maybe catch fire a bit. It's been a while, it feels like, if you date back to last season, that it feels like the Royals won 7 of 9, they won 8 of 11, and they kind of got hot. Now, a lot of that is just from you don't score enough consistently to get hot and go on those kind of runs. I think what people are holding on to is, and it certainly makes a lot of sense, I'm on that side. Hey, it's early. You look at the American League, it's all bunched up right now. Somebody is going to get hot, whether it's offensive pitching. And why can't that team be the Royals, especially in this early part when their schedule is about to lighten up a little bit?
Yeah, and I think that's some of the hope that Royals fans can have right now. If you were looking at the schedule before opening day, you knew that the first 7 series of the season were going to be tough. All of those teams had winning records in 2024, and 6 of the 7 made the playoffs in 2024. They were all very good teams who still had high expectations coming into 2025. And maybe a get-right series against the Colorado Rockies or the Los Angeles Angels. Just bring down that competition level would be nice and get some more wins in the win-loss column. But unfortunately, there's a big morale blow right now in the Royals fan base because they feel like they can't hang with these contending teams. They can't hang with the Yankees or the Brewers or the Guardians. It's a weird spot to be at. I do believe that they're going to be in a better spot come May. But we still got to weather this storm through Easter a little bit longer, C-Doc.
That is our guy, Jacob Milham, joining us on the show. Jacob, before we get you out of here, where's your stance on meatloaf? We talked about this yesterday. The Yankees offer a meatloaf burger at the stadium. Where are you at on meatloaf?
Man, that is one of those dishes that is so easy to mess up, C-Dot. It really is. And I've had more bad meatloaf in my life than I've had good meatloaf. But that good meatloaf, I ain't going to lie, I'll come back to that. So I'm sort of pro meatloaf. Where do you fall, C-Dot?
Yeah, I'm on the negative here. I mean, Jacob, I mean, you know, I'm guessing when you and your wife go out and you ask her, hey, what are you thinking about getting? There's never been a time when your wife looked at you and said, I don't know, man, this meatloaf sounds pretty good. That's never happened to you, not one time.
No, it hasn't. You're right.
And think about it. You and her have had hundreds of thousands of meals together. She's never said that to you. It's because she knows it's really not that good. That's Jacob Milham joining us on the show today. Jake, man, we appreciate you, man. We'll catch up with you down the line.
All right. Talk to you later, C-Doc.
Absolutely. That is Jacob Milham joining us on the show. Coming up on the other side, it is time for an impromptu People's Court. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, your home for the best food takes in KC.
Regular old American nachos. You know, I don't need jalapenos with mine, just chips, cheese.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
All right, we're going to get back to the People's Court in a bit, but I want to talk about this story that has kind of been circulating around the city for the last couple of days or so. There are very few things that I think get all of us, especially here in Kansas City, to all come together. Now, some of this is just learned behavior. We have just lived here long enough that you start to expect certain things. So I live downtown, so I've been affected by this. If you want to go down to the River Market, there have been a lot of controversy about the crossroads. The new parking on the street rules are ridiculous. They're ridiculous. I don't think there's any way to argue that. I don't think there's any way to defend it. And I imagine for some of you, it makes you not want to frequent these local establishments. And it does the exact opposite of what we should be doing. We should be promoting, hey, you should be able to drive down here and go to the city market and park your car and go around and shop and support a local vibrant community in our city. You should want to drive down to the crossroads and have brunch and go grab a drink and eat and shop at the local stores. And you shouldn't feel like you can't park your car, or if you do, you got to pay 10 bucks to park on the street. Now, maybe your argument is going to be, well, that's what they do in Dallas or New York, but that ain't where we live. That's not where we live. We live in Kansas City. This usually isn't something that you have to pay for. And the fact that it feels like they are trying to nickel and dime us, it just doesn't make anybody feel good. I believe that's a story that we should all come together. This is a story that I think we all can sign up for. Did you hear the story about those kids that got their car towed from prom? They were told they could park somewhere. They then parked at this place. At least this is my understanding. They then came back after the prom, car gone. The tow man had come by and had taken their car away. I understand that everybody, I get it. I really understand that everybody's got to make a living. I'm not here to demean how anybody makes a living. You're making good legal money. You're not hurting anybody. You're not bothering anybody. Hey, I support you. I don't know how you grow up to be the tow man, though. Now, sure, sometimes the tow man comes and he is a lifesaver. You know, you lock something in your car won't start. You see the tow man and you're happy because the tow man is coming to help you. A majority of the time when you got to interact with the tow man, he is there to make your day that is already gone stressful. He is there to make your day more stressful. And everything usually about it is real sketchy, is it not? You've never had a great experience with the tow man, or when your car has gotten towed, you've never had a great experience going to pick it up. It's always in some place on the outskirts of town. When you go, it's always real shady. They write on your car. It's never a positive experience when you go. So I'm reading a story right now on KCTV5, and they're telling me the rules. Listen to this. In Kansas, there is no law on maximum tow or storage rates. It is up to the cities or counties to decide it. It then goes on to say that there are other protections for the consumers that are lacking. The tow company is not required to accept your credit card if you are in the state of Kansas. They also are not required to have a 24/7 service to give you the ability to go pick up your car. Because if your car has ever been towed, I know you've been in this situation. You find out your car gets towed. Stinks, right? No one wants their car towed. Stinks when your car gets towed. You then figure out, you maybe thought that your car was stolen. Now you call and you figure out the tow man's got your vehicle. Well, now you can't pick it up because it's 11 o'clock and you can get it in the morning. But guess what they're going to do? They're going to charge you for it being there overnight. And the thing that could have been $200 is now $290 because you can't go pick up your car there. I know somebody out there on the text line feels me on this. 913-586-7965. Getting your tow car or getting your car towed is a bottom five adult activity. It's a bottom five adult activity. It's not the worst thing that could happen to you as an adult. There's definitely worse things, but I'm telling you, when your car, when you got to see the tow man, or when you got to have somebody give you a ride to go see the tow man, or you got to take the Uber over there, oh my God, it makes you so mad. You're beside yourself. When you got to turn around and you got to hand them your credit card, and then you just think about the money that you just lit on fire to do this, oh my God, it makes you so mad. You can't do it. You can't do it. It makes you mad. Legitimately. I'm serious. It's the worst. It's the absolute worst. I know on the text line, crazy strategy. Why don't you just park where you're supposed to? Okay. I just can't imagine. Your mom looked at you when you were a young boy and told you you could be anything in life you wanted to be. And you grew up to be the tow man? Terrible. Serious. bottom. I'm sorry. I hate it. I'm not here to judge anybody how you make a living. I'm sure there's some great tow man out there. You've had to tow somebody's car, and then you can hear it in their voice. You have ruined their day. There's very few jobs that your design purpose is to ruin people's day, like the tow man. Stinks. Somebody said I got my car towed after game one of the 2015 World Series. Can you imagine that wave of emotion, Rob? Can you imagine that wave of emotion? You just saw maybe the greatest game of your life. You get back to your car, and we all know you play that Where's Waldo with your own vehicle. You're like pressing the button to find out where it is, and you don't hear the sound. And then you go through that, oh, somebody stole my car. Like, you start thinking it in the back of your mind. Somebody stole your car. No, they didn't steal your car. They didn't steal your car. No, the tow man has got it. The tow man took your vehicle and ain't going to give it back to you. And then, yeah, someone on the text line says, here's what's also frustrating. They make you show proof of registration, but the registration is in the car. Yeah, it's usually a lot. They make you jump through a lot of hoops to get your car back. It's easier to get on an airplane than it is to get your car back from when the tow man got it. I had to get that off. My car hasn't been towed in a while, but I hate the tow man. Legitimately hate the tow man. When's the last time, Rob, you had an interaction with the tow man?
College. Parked on Mass for too long. They popped me. I've been pretty good since then, but yeah, that one, you're right. Very sketchy part of Lawrence.
Always.
Like, I'm like, hey.
It's always a part of the city you've never seen before. You didn't even know this place existed. You've driven past this place millions of times. Had no clue that it was just hundreds and hundreds of cars back there. Makes you so mad. You thought you was going to have a good night. Feeling good. Now all of a sudden, next thing you know, it's out of here. It's done. It's the worst. It stinks. All right. Let's get back to the Royals. Let's get back to the Chiefs. You know what? Let's actually talk about the Chiefs here. We're going to do our own exercise. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's the drive.